Jesus, preaching about Jesus. That's a great thing to preach about. And using the scriptures of the Old Testament, if you want to find your place, Romans 16, we'll read that verse again. Give you a little rehearsal or review of what we've been going through and talking about with this passage. And we're almost done. We've got to pick another book to study. It's going to be, this might be the last sermon of Romans 16. It might happen today. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let's be seated. Lord, bless the word. Thank you for it. I am privileged and amazed at your grace. And I know that you love to use foolish things to confound the wise. And so I pray that your word would go forth, the cross will be preached today, and then also that, Lord, that you give me wisdom. I lack it, and I need it to be able to present and to teach from your word today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When we read this verse that it's made known for the obedience of faith, whatever is made known would have to be true, because the more you make known things, and if something's not true, then the more you start questioning everything else that was said that you thought was true. Yeah. Did that make sense? Yeah. When you meet someone and they say something, you're like, "Boy, that sounds a little strange." But you know, I just met them. Maybe it's. And then you start hearing some more things. You're like, "Wait a second. There's a lot of things here. I don't know how could." And then you start having doubts about what anything was said, because you're trying to figure out if truth is being told. Make sense? Sometimes little kids have a story, and you're like, "That seemed a little far-fetched." But you know, first time at the kid, next time, now they've been to Mars. That's a little bit more way out there. And then you start, okay, I don't know if they've got a purple cat or not. You know, you start rewinding what else has been said. So whatever is said about Jesus, it's all got to be true, or everything that's said would be questioned if it were true.
Yeah, that's right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we've been looking more recently in this passage about the preaching of Jesus himself in the Old Testament and from scriptures, because we even found that the Bible is considered scripture. All of it is scripture, not just the Old Testament prophets. And in that discovery or study, and we didn't do all inclusive every verse study, but we looked at the prophecies of his person, that he would be the star, the scepter, the servant. He would come in those ways. Then we looked at the death. He would have to die. That was predicted. He would suffer. He would come to an end in Daniel chapter 9. It wasn't just all of the kingship and the prophecies of power. He was going to be bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. So that was huge that we could see that. And then we start seeing resurrection verses. He's back. He's coming. His seed is prolonged in Isaiah 53. Hello. That should have been the most exciting night, those nights right before Jesus resurrected. Because it was foretold. It was predicted. The disciples should have not been sad. They should have been glad, knowing that it was the third day, and now their prophesied Messiah was going to be fully verified and fully come to confidence. I know that when someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, when you're a kid, you just believe it.
Yep.
It's just like, yep, I believe, it's it.
Right.
And then maybe, like, you know, we're talking about granddaughter, go to college, things can make you doubt, or if you don't have a strong foundation or somebody can give you answers, that's a critical time. Other people come to know the Lord as an adult, and maybe it's through a trial or a tribulation, and wow, I'm at a down point or I'm at a crisis point and I need help, and you ask for help, but you're not totally sure of what help you're getting.
Yeah.
You've got to... Hey, God did something, praise the Lord, but now I'm trying to grow in this do I really believe all this, or how does it all come together? Remember old Joe Sonier when he came to church, and then that night after he got baptized, his daughter came, and he's like, "Now I know there's a Lord in heaven. I got baptized today, and my daughter in the afternoon." He was just like, "Well, I thought you were saved before." I was, but now he knows for sure. And that can happen as your faith grows. These verses that we look at about Jesus, I want them to strengthen. I hope that's what we're doing, to give you more confidence. Wow, there's a lot of verses that say, wow, I didn't realize that. Oh, it's amazing. It's not just a belief. It's a faith in what has been found to be fulfilled from thousands of years before. And that's amazing that someone can write these things down and then they come to pass. So anyway, that's the angle. So today, talking about the preaching of Jesus, I want you to know that it is prophesied and it is predicted that Jesus, or this Messiah, will be King of Kings.
Amen.
He did not take the crown of the world back 2,000 years ago. He took the crown of thorns for the world. And remember, even Sunday, we talked about the temptation of Jesus. Satan was tempting him. I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you'll bow down to me. Jesus did not take the crown of the King of Kings and wear it while he was here. He humbled himself, became made a little lower than the angels to die for us, took the crown of thorns, our curse for sin, wore that. He still was the King of Kings. He just hasn't taken that position as of yet. I hope that he's an elected king in your life. He just hasn't taken the office as of yet. You know, that period between someone's elected and that they take office, I hope that's the way Jesus is in your life. You've elected him, and it's just a matter of time till he takes over that throne. So let's look at some verses. I want you to just first go to Luke chapter 1, 32. Like, preacher, this is New Testament. Well, it is, but this is an event that took place before Jesus died. And it is the message from an angel. Now, you guys get messages from angels every time Brother Joshua preaches. Amen. You thought I was going to say me. You just never know who the angel is giving you the message. Sarah's had some messages from that angel, right? Luke chapter 1, verse 26. If you're there. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Okay, so she heard a message and she's doubting it. Fair. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him" what?
Throne
of his father David. Look at this. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob." How long? Forever. "And of his kingdom there shall be..." Now, that did not happen in the 33 years that Jesus was on earth. Everybody say amen to that? But it was predicted by the angel even before Mary was carrying the Christ child in her womb. So it is promised that Jesus will be King of Kings. This is what we still have in expectation and hope for. And I don't care what government we're a part of, Jesus, we would be a great improvement. Amen?
Amen.
King Jesus, come quickly. That's the promise. So we're preaching Jesus for the obedience of faith to the nations. And one of our messages is that there is going to be a kingdom that he reigns over. Preacher, where is it at? Why did it happen? That's some of the reasons for doubt that the Israelites and the Jews had at that time. Why aren't we given this promise that was prophesied? Where is this kingdom? Why aren't we the throne of David? Why isn't it reigning over all the world? And Paul would tell us it's because God has a plan to reach all these Gentiles first. God's including the whole world to be reached before this takes place. That would be Romans 9, 10, and 11. We went through that chapters. You can get on Faith Life and download the app, and you can find those sermons. Are they still up there probably? Oh, yeah, you can. It's like an endless supply of boring preaching. Amen. You can find it all. But so this was the promise. This is the prophecy. Let's look back and see where some of this comes from in the Old Testament. Go with me, and just for order of it, go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And look what is promised and predicted about Jesus. We are preaching Jesus, crucified, risen, and as the pledge of the allegiance to the Christian flag says, we believe in a Savior crucified, risen, and coming again. That's our faith that Jesus Christ will return, and he'll come as King of Kings instead of as a humble servant when he does come. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9, are you there? Look at verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, if a person reading the Old Testament says, well, there's been kids that were kings in Israel, that could be one of those kid kings. I've got four of little kids that thinks they're kings, amen, in my house, the kid kings. But verse 6 says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. No other kid king in Israel was ever called those names. That's not a fulfillment from any other king. We believe it's talking about Jesus. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That sounds like what Gabriel said in Luke. Yes, they kind of have the same message because they came from the same message maker. Okay, God gave the message. It's going to be consistent. And says, on the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, judgment, and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's a prediction of a child that will have the government upon his shoulders. Well, what would have to take place in order to get us ready for a king, a son, that would be called the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? What would have to get in place for him to be able to be king of everything? Well, I would say you'd probably have to have everything all underneath one kingship. Yeah. If he's going to be king of everything. If the Lord Jesus came back today and was elected president of the United States, would he have any jurisdiction over Brazil? Would he have any jurisdiction over Canada? Would he have any jurisdiction over the District of Columbia? Maybe there would be questions there, okay? The president only is elected for the United States of America. When Jesus comes, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His government, there'll be no end. It will be a worldwide government. So should there be any surprise that the world might be heading towards one government before King Jesus comes down? I don't think that there would be any. Now, could he come down and unify everything immediately? Yes, he's God. But it just wouldn't surprise me that there's going to be a push for global agendas, global governance, global unification, so that there would be one kingdom over all the earth. I'm just speaking here, and some of you have heard all kinds of things. Do we have North America warming or global warming? Do we have a American internet or a worldwide internet? Interesting. What kind of currency do we have? We have a lot of different ones. A lot of different ones. This is off the press. I've never spoken this topic before, but let me make a prediction. There are more cryptocurrencies right now than ever before. Have you ever heard of a crypto? How many have never heard of a cryptocurrency? Raise your hand. Never heard of cryptocurrency. A few of you, okay? Cryptocurrency is money that only exists electronically. Have you heard of the Bitcoin? I wish I had a bite of one. You know what I'm saying? I wish I had bitten one about 10 years ago. Or 2 years ago would have been great. Their currency, and they make transactions electronically. There's no, and we've been doing this for years with a credit card, amen, yeah. Debit cards. But this has a, they call it a blockchain, and I'm just speaking off in the air. I don't understand how it all works, but it's used for computers, and they can make transactions between countries, between all kinds of currencies. Have you ever been to Chuck E. Cheese and bought the coins to play video games? Hemi's ever done that? Oh, I've done that. And you go, and you, with your dollar, they give you 4 Chuck E. Cheese coins. Those coins are worth nothing unless you're at... Now, my kids love to take them home. Like, why didn't you spend that thing? Now it's worth nothing. Even Chuck E. Cheese has now debit cards. Did you know that? They don't have coins anymore. They have electronic play cards that you swipe so that you can play the video games. Hilarious. Anyway, so these coins... cryptocurrencies are now like Chuck E. Cheese coins everywhere. And you do something for this company, and then they'll give you part of their coins. Well, now some of these coins are getting value because they're being traded and they're being used. And here's the problem. It's going to get confusing when you got a Bitcoin, a Dogecoin, a Stellar coin, a Ethereum coin, a AMP coin, a non-AMP coin, a 5-AMP coin, a 20-AMP coin, and a 36-AMP. You know what's going to happen? Mark it down. I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you, somebody's going to say, we've got to conglomerate this and get it to one currency. Watch your financial news. Because King Jesus, and let's go back, King Anti-Jesus is going to be king of the world for a short period before Jesus gets here. And you're going to have some global agreements and governance. We've had the United Nations since the end of World War II, but it's not been a whole big force. But there's more and more authority given to that entity. So anyway, this is just how we're going to preach Jesus. He's going to be the king. He's going to be the government's going to be on his shoulders, and we're going to see those things come into view the closer we get. Isaiah 9:6 talks about the government being on the child's shoulder. We believe this child is Jesus Christ. Every Christmas season, you're going to see verses Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we'll sing the Hallelujah chorus. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. I'm totally off key. I'm going to stop singing, but that song is played. It's from this passage. That's what we believe, okay? Go to Daniel chapter 7. Joshua was cringing over there as I was murdering that wonderful song. Daniel chapter 7. And that song is from Handel's what?
Messiah.
The Messiah. The Anointed One, Christ. We're preaching him, and it's from all over the Bible. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 9. This is a vision that Daniel has. He says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, what? Did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. Fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed, given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the... came with the clouds of heaven, and came to what? See, the Ancient of Days is talked about sitting on the throne. And now it talks about one coming to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. Look, and there was given him dominion, glory, kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel had a vision of all these wild kingdom beasts being destroyed when the Ancient of Days sat on his throne. But he said, I see one coming to him like the Son of Man. You wonder why Jesus is called the Son of Man so many times in the Gospels. It is fulfillment of the prophets' pictures. They saw one that looked like the Son, a representative man, coming to the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is a term that we refer to of God with. So notice that this kingdom that he will take, will be everlasting, and it will be over all nations, all languages. Even if you speak redneck, okay, it'll be over your language as well. Come on. Will's made-up language, it'll be underneath the authority of King Jesus. Every language, every people group. So these are predictions. Go to Zechariah chapter 9. I'm just using primarily the Old Testament because, remember, Jesus showed himself through the Scriptures, and that's what Romans 16, we're preaching Christ from the Scriptures. It was a mystery when it was written, but now that Jesus has been identified and has lived and died and rose again justified, this is why we can use these verses to preach him even more confidently. Zechariah chapter number 9. Look at verse number 9. This verse is rehearsed in the Gospels. It says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold thy, what's the next word? King. Okay, he cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Now look at this view. Lowly. Riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass? That did not make sense. How could he be riding on a lowly animal if he's the king?
Yeah. Amen.
Wouldn't he be riding on the highest, he will, white horse?
Yeah.
This picture shows your king. Here he is. Here's your king. But he's lowly. He's on the colt? The foal of an ass? He's on a little horse? A little animal? Presley would get excited right now if she knew Jesus is right on a miniature horse. Amen. I mean, that she would be all over this. How does that fit? Remember when Jesus entered into Jerusalem? Lowly, not yet crowned King of Kings. And remember he told the disciples, go find the colt. It'll be waiting. Untie it. It's prepared for me. Really? What? You see both of these in this verse. King, rejoice greatly, you're king, but it shows him in his first coming as well. Look in Zechariah, keep looking, go to chapter 12. And that's why it's a mystery. How can this be? A king wouldn't come, you wouldn't see the President of the United States driving in a Yugo or a Chevrolet Chevette coming into town, okay? He's not going to come in. He's not bringing a Honda Civic. Y'all say amen? He'd be driving in something a little more high class than something like that. How could that be? Someone of importance coming in such a lowly manner. Zechariah 12, look at this picture of him. Am I in 12? Yeah, 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon who? Me, whom they have, pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Keep going, look at chapter 13 of Zechariah. Chapter 13, verse number 6 and 7. These are some of that mystery, that picturing him as king, but also as pierced and all these things. Look at verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and I will turn thine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord, that's Jehovah, the Lord is my God. So they're going to see wounds in Jehovah's hands. That's the mystery. How does that happen? Keep reading chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord, that's Jehovah. All those capital letters, I know we call Jesus Lord, but we're saying Jesus, capital L, small o, small r, small d. We're using a different title, but it's the same, translated the same English name. He is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D as well. But when we see Jesus as a human, we're calling him Lord Jesus. In chapter 14, watch how this combines. Behold, the day of the Lord, I'm going to say Jehovah just so you can understand what that word is referring to, cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the who? Jehovah, go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. How is Jehovah going to do this? We understand that God does a lot of things to a lot of different people. We say, hey, the Lord did this. The Lord blessed my health, Sandy said, through some medicine and doctor help. But she's praising the Lord. The Lord can do all kinds of things through all kinds of different people. He used Nebuchadnezzar. He can use anyone. Look at verse 4. And his what? His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And the half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. It says, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. And ye shall flee like as you fled from the earthquakes in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Verse 6, it shall come to pass in that day that light shall not be clear nor dark. It shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that evening time it shall be light. Look at verse number 9. Are you there? Look at verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. This is the picture of this king. We believe it's Jesus. It's referred to as the Lord setting his feet on the earth, ruling and reigning, wearing the crown that, remember, Gabriel said he's going to be king over everything. It didn't happen yet. It's still going to happen. We're preaching it. Because we're saying all these things about Jesus, they're all going to have to be true, or ain't none of them going to be true. And we believe all of it's true. Go with me back to Daniel chapter 2 and see one more thing before I go to Revelation. So you got this picture. He's going to ride on a colt at one time. He's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives and rule and reign, and all of his enemies are going to be destroyed. We didn't read all that in Zechariah 14, but it's there. Look at Daniel 2, verse 44. This was the other dream that Daniel had about the end of the world, and he had a picture in his mind about this image that had 10 toes. Had a head of gold and silver and brass and then iron mixed with clay, and he had 10 toes. And on those 10 toes, he said there are going to be 10 kings, and their kingdoms that are partly broken, partly together. Look at Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these, I'm going to put in the word 10, but it says kings, 10 kings, because that's what just referred to, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall what? For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof. I didn't read that part of the dream, but when he had this image, he saw a stone cut out of the mountain come down and break these toes and break the whole image from the toes up. You'd think if there's an image, you'd want to break it from the head, but it's giving you timing. The gold image is done. The silver is already passed. The brass is already done. The iron mixed with clay, when that comes, it's a timeline of kingdoms. But get this picture. A stone is cut out of the mountain. If I came over here and I cut a little piece of this and I bring it out, what would I have in my hand? A piece of drywall. It's part of the whole drywall, but if I cut out a piece, I've still got drywall. The mountain is God. Christ is God, a part of God that became man, and he's cut out of the mountain. He's coming to destroy the kingdoms of this world because he's still God. It's just a piece of God that we see as a human and that will come and rule and reign over us. Does that help you make sense of who Jesus is with God? He's the stone that's cut out of the mountain that will come and destroy all the kingdoms of this world. Go to Revelation 19. We saw Zechariah, the Lord's going to come. The Lord's going to set his feet. We saw that he's going to be king, and the Son of Man went to the Ancient of Days and was set up a kingdom in Daniel 7. Revelation 19. Who's coming down? How's he coming down? What's going to happen when he does come down? He's going to set up a kingdom. He'll be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Here's where you see it fully developed as a story and timeline. Revelation 19, verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her, that's the wife of the Lamb, we believe it's the church, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. He saith unto her, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are true sayings of God. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren which have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Boy, that's the same visage of the Ancient of Days, isn't it? His head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Whose name is the Word? Jesus. Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, right? Verse 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. If you want to take a reference, write down Zechariah 14. Because when the Lord fights those battles, it talks about breath coming out and all of the enemies, their flesh consuming upon their bodies. Verse 15, sharp sword, with it he should smite the nations, rule them with a rod of iron, treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Here it is, verse 16. Here's Handel's Messiah. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, what? King of kings, Lord of lords. This is the kingdom that now is set up. It's in chapter 20, verse 4 of Revelation. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and that had not received the mark upon their foreheads. In verse 4, it says, and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The reign of Christ for 1,000 years is when he is the king of the earth. He's fought the battle against the false king who had already unified the earth in one kingdom. And now he fully takes his throne and sits on it as king of that kingdom. He's king of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's the stone cut out of the mountain that will destroy the little kings of the earth that have unified to give their power to the beast and the false prophet. I know I'm talking off my top of my head a little bit here, but it's all there. And that he's God in flesh. That rock is a part of the mountain. It's just a piece of it that's come down. That's what Jesus is. And we preach him because everybody needs to obey. Everyone needs to confess. Everyone needs to be born again. Everyone, there's only one way for everyone. And that's Jesus. I hope I can convince as many people until I meet him that they need Christ. Your life can convince them that there's something different. Your words can convince them because they're hearing something different. But Jesus will convince them when they open up and receive his Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord will reiterate and bring you into communion with God through Jesus Christ. Confirm it. The Spirit of God will confirm it. So we preach him, and that's our message. We're not going to change. There are going to be some battle scars along the way. There's going to be some fallen soldiers along the side. There's going to be some that stop believing. What happens? God never stops holding on, but there can be that take place. We're just going to keep marching because King Jesus is coming. Amen? Every head bowed, every head closed. Father, thank you for your word.